Welcome to Caffeination number 489. That's 489th edition in the show here. Only 11 more shows until we hit the big 500. It's going to be a good episode, wouldn't you think, Steve?
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm here with my good buddy Steve. We are trying to pilot the ship that is the Caffeination number 489. We're calling this one the Remix Edition because there is a lot of remix culture that is kind of in there. There's a lot of new and interesting cultural stuff. We actually have some real news today to talk about as opposed to a lot of the fluff pieces.
Yeah.
That's a rarity, I'd say.
That's very rare.
I mean, it's not saying that we're only fluff pieces or, you know, we're like the morning news around here or something like that, but I would like to think that we showcase both the awesome and the interesting stuff that comes up.
I think so.
So you are listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. We have a ton of good stuff to talk to you about today. We have a lot of geek cruft. We're having one section we're just calling Culture 2011. It was originally Culture Wars, but this is just what's happening. How caffeinated are you today? 1 to 10?
I probably got a 4 or 5.
4 or 5?
Not too
okay.
bad.
What are you rocking?
Mine aren't normal. Well, some iced tea, which is just about done.
Okay, I am back to a regular plain old black coffee from the new French press. I gotta tell you, the Bodum French press, the one that we got right here, the Brazil, I'm not as much of a fan of this design as I was the Chambord French press, which is the other one upstairs. It seemed a little bit higher class, seemed to work a little bit better than this one does.
Yeah, it looked like you were having a little bit of trouble with it upstairs.
It doesn't work the way I thought it was gonna, but hey, you know, it's alright. It's gonna get the jib done. But this might end up in the office to have my French press there, you know what I mean? All right, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. You are listening to the Caffeination, like I said. We are located lovingly nestled along with all of our little episodic friends over www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure it out. We have a ton of really interesting things to talk about, and if you have anything, comments, feedback, suggestion, anything else you'd like to send our general direction, please feel free to email us at paul@caffeination.com or
at steve@caffeination.com,
or you could just email, or you could just message us on Twitter. I am Caffeination and he is
Lost Fears,
and you'll get a hold of us. We also have a wonderful phone number that you can dial in. That is 215-240-1319. A lot of people don't like talking to other people. They just want to kind of leave a message and move on. That's what that is. That is a straight up 100% direct to voicemail link. That's all it does. So you know, I like that. I hate when, you know, you have to try and talk to somebody and you're always a little bit worried. It's like, hey, am I going to end up sounding like a goof? Is everything going to actually be all right? And it's just direct to voicemail. That's the way it should be. We have a Facebook fan page. There's a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, and there's a whole bunch of other things that you could do over at the website. So I highly suggest you head on over there. We would like to suggest that you join the mailing list because we're linking to older articles that are kind of out of circulation right now. We're actually pulling a lot of them up to the forefront. For instance, last year I did the wonderful little video with my son on sweet and spicy steak and coffee steak. We've seen actually the coffee burger article has been blowing up on the website for the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
A lot of people digging on the coffee burger. And that was a story we featured about 2 weeks ago on the mailing list, so you can get ahead of the curve and find out what people are going to be talking about if you head on over there and click the Join the Mailing List button. You can also help us out by, you know, to find good advertisers and good people that you would be interested in by filling out a quick survey over there. There's a link on the main page, and there's also a link in the show notes. The cat says hello today. So what'd you do geeky this week, Steve?
I started tweaking my phone, trying to get it to do what I want it to do.
So you're rooting today.
Rooting and tooting.
All right. So we're working with some things with Steve. I had to explain all the different stuff. He's doing a lot of research on his own. It's the way it should be. You know, everything should be a learning experience. That's really cool. I'm happy that you're moving beyond just using it.
Yeah. Hopefully, I don't turn it into just a brick.
it's pretty hard to do, but you know, just read ahead.
Yeah.
And just remember, if you turn it into a brick, drop it into a bucket and say something.
I don't know what happens, sir.
No, just we kid. But no, there's a lot of fun stuff that's happening geeky this week for me. We're actually working on a huge WordPress project in work, so I've been doing a little bit of coding, doing a little bit of actual server work for the first time in a while. It's kind of making me itch wanting to get back to working on the server that I got sitting in the house here, so I might have to end up doing that soon. I also read a couple comics. Don't know if you knew this. Marvel has a new imprint called, well, it's not necessarily new. It's called Marvel Impact, I think.
No, I didn't know that.
It's basically anybody in this new universe, if they die, they're dead completely. Like, there is no coming back. So in this new universe, Magneto's already dead. Wolverine is already dead. Like, there's really interesting storylines. Hmm. And the latest character to pass on, Spider-Man.
Oh, no.
Peter Parker. He dead.
Gone.
And you'd be surprised to find out who done did him in. So
I'll have to research.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. I like when there's kind of new stuff like that coming out. So I've been really rocking the Marvel free comics lately a lot. So I'd highly suggest you head on over to marvel.com/free, and you can see a whole bunch of the different Fear Itself stuff, and they have a whole bunch of digital comics. I'm really trying to save up to actually buy their year-long digital subscription, because yeah, it's $60 and you can read any comic from their archives. Any comic.
Wow.
That would be really cool on your phone, on your iPad, whatever. So it's just that just looks cool. All right, that's just me. All right, moving right along to Culture 2011. I love comic books. I really wish I had the money to just buy them. All right, moving right along to Culture 2011, Culture Wars in this case. LulzSec. Now, this is a huge international organization that is similar to Anonymous in that they are. Well, actually anonymous. You know, nobody really knows who they are. They're a group of hackers that supposedly get together, and they're hacktivists on one hand, and on the other hand, they're actually, you know, criminals.
So yeah.
It's interesting to see the fights that they are picking, and it's interesting to see the way that other people are responding to it. And one of the chief things that came out recently is that one of their members was actually arrested, and the governments involved said, hey, you know, this is, you know, this is fantastic. We got one of the leaders of LulzSec. You know, this is an international organization that they're, you know, they're supposed to be responsible for some of the biggest hacks that have happened over this past year. They took down Lockheed Martin. They took down the U.S. Senate website. They took down the FBI or CIA. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. So they know their way around. And you
know, kind of scary.
Yeah, they came out with this and said, "Hey, we got it." It's a 19-year-old kid. He looks about like
14 or 15 years old.
Yeah, and they're saying, you know, from Britain, it's like, yeah, we got him, and they threw him up there and said, he's a leader of LulzSec. Then if you head on over to twitter.com/LulzSec, that's LulzSec, they say, you know, that's he's really not anybody. It's really kind of sad. One arrested, we are not impressed nor affected, basically. They got somebody who was actually running one of their IRC channels. Basically, they asked people to donate server time, and they donate their own time to actually helping them run the organization that they have, and he was one of the people who did that. So they got somebody low on the totem pole, and they tried to pump it up.
Yeah, probably very low.
Yeah, I don't think... And for some reason, LulzSec said there's only 6 of them. That seems to be a small number.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you think that there's only 6, they're like a more of a strike team of hackers, then maybe, perhaps, they're a lot better than people are giving them credit for. It's not just like, you know, they're using scripts and other things that people have written. You know, there's a term from a long time ago in hacker jargon called script kiddie, and basically anybody, you, me, you know, Jen, anybody could download these programs, and it's still in existence, like that low orbiting ion cannon thing.
Right.
It's still in existence to where, like, you can download this stuff, and with absolutely no knowledge of the system or how it works, you can run this program and call yourself a leet hacker. So idea that maybe they were just a group of script kiddies running around, but a lot of the things that they've done have actually been pretty
impressive.
I mean, just putting it out there. And then the other kind of scary, slightly terrifying thing, LulzSec and Anonymous have actually declared war on governments, just in general. And there's a couple different videos floating around, and you know, find one and watch it. It's interesting. I mean, The one thing that struck me about the first video was that basically they're targeting non-violent protests. They want to have people, you know, they're saying that, you know, basically all of our rights and freedoms have been taken away. The internet is no longer the free place that it should be. So they're really kind of coming down hard on how the governments are interacting. They're basically saying that we, the people of the internet, are basically being fleeced out of our money and our time by governments that have only their their own self-interest. And it's like every time you see something like that, and you're like, wow, you know, you guys are really on a good path. You're really on a path that seems to be a little bit more on the hacktivism side.
Right.
And then you come back, and they do goofy things like, hey, you know, attack Lockheed Martin, or attack this company, or attack that company. It's like, especially Anonymous vacillates between really well-put-together PR releases and, like, something that sounds like a 13-year-old.
Right.
So it's kind of weird to think that stuff. But, all right. Then the next little thing we got in the Culture 2011 is a video you recently watched, I believe.
It's called Exit Through the Gift Shop, and what it is basically an hour and a half long movie on a street art. And in particular, one person who travels around the world following these street artists and turns into one himself. And his biggest influence was, of course, the gentleman who not only directed this film, but is world famous for his street art. He goes by the name of Bansky. Bansky.
Bansky.
Yeah. And, you don't see Bansky's face. He does whatever he can to keep himself unidentified.
Yeah, I mean, he even modified his voice in the movie.
Yeah.
So it looks really interesting. I mean, for me at least, graffiti and street art, as they call it, really runs a fine line. Because I've seen some gorgeous stuff done that really kind of enhances the otherwise crappy neighborhoods that they're from.
Right.
And I've seen stuff like I saw in one of the promos for it where a guy's just running down the street holding a can of spray paint and making a line go up and down.
I don't like that. You know, when I thought the same exact thing. You know, as you watch this, you realize the difference between graffiti and actual street art. You know what? And you can start to appreciate what they do.
Yes. I mean, some of the stuff, it's like I've seen things where it looks like somebody's just throwing junk on the wall. And then I've seen stuff where it's like, oh, wow, he really did something with that junk that I've never seen anybody do. And,
right.
Like, a lot of the found art. And I heard somebody actually talking about, like, this group of street artists, and they said, basically, if these guys had been born in Paris in the 1800s, they would have not been street artists. They would have been, you know, like, poets and writers and playwrights and things. It's like, this is the next generation of art. Like it or not, like, their commentary and a lot of Bansky's work is just, like, really ripe with political satire and like cultural slams. It's interesting.
Oh, it's a good movie. You know what? It's also a great way to watch, you know, all the other famous ones like Space Invader, Shepard Fairey, and even Thierry Guetta.
Yeah. So
who is also known, as you find out in the movie, as Mr. Brainwash.
Mr. Brainwash.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to find a really cool name. Yeah, maybe I won't. All right, then the next thing, you know, that's remixing popular culture because you're remixing actual buildings and you're adding things, you're taking things away, and you're really kind of changing how everything goes. And then moving on to the next thing, Everything is a Remix is a really cool project, and it's run entirely by the guy in the name of Kirby, who does like these really brilliantly put together. Like, if you have some time at work or whatever, you need to watch these. They're like 11 minutes, 10 minutes each. And he's done three of them so far. They really rip apart popular culture and the notion that what we have is original. And it really is, on one hand, as a content creator, it's like what we're doing right now is original. Like, we are creating an original podcast that's going to go out. There's nothing else like this.
Right.
However, it's formulaic in the fact that when I first was doing this podcast, I listened to other podcasts and I emulated what they did. I emulated radio shows that were before that. Radio shows were emulations of newspaper articles and how they formulated articles and things like that. It says everything came from somewhere else. So our definition of copyright and like the ownership that people take over things is really skewed. And one of the things that it's really kind of the two episodes that it just like blew me away. The first one was about music, and he talks about Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin straight up lifted song lyrics, tones, entire melodies from other older artists. In fact, the beginning of Stairway to Heaven is directly lifted from a band they toured with 3 years before Stairway was released. Like, the beginning notes and everything.
Right.
And it's just insane to actually sit there and like, he plays samples of all the things right in a row, and you're going, oh my God, I hear that. Or they had another one in a different thing where like he went through like 15 different artists that all used the same backbeat. And it's like, wow. And it's not just like, it's like, okay, you know, I know how to play that, so I'm going to play that too. It's actually sampling at a certain point where they're taking the notes that they didn't play and making something new out of it.
Right.
And then I've talked about it before a long time ago, Rip a Remix Manifesto. This is something that focuses on the culture of creativity and the really, really interesting and vibrant culture in like Girl Talk and a lot of other artists out there who take samples and turn them into something completely and utterly different from what they were from when they started. This isn't like the Beastie Boys, and this isn't like, you know, some of the hip-hop and rap groups that are out there. This is like taking samples and merging them into insane, different tunes that you never heard before.
Right.
So it's really neat. So I'd highly suggest you actually see that. There are places you can watch that one online. I know that all of the stuff is available online for Everything is a Remix. And the best part about the Everything is a Remix is he actually goes through films, and he says out of the top 10 films for the past 10 years, 74 of the top 100 films that are surveyed are actually either copies, remakes, based on other work, or like straight up, this is this. So it's like Lord of the Rings. It's based on the book. Like, you know how your dad's fond of saying nobody has any new ideas?
Right.
Apparently that's been true forever and a day. Nobody ever had any new ideas. It's just everybody remixes them a little bit. And he actually really deconstructs Star Wars and goes down and says, Star Wars is basically a samurai film. And, like, he pulls these different things out from the scenes, and it's blinding because you're wondering, okay, did George Lucas see this and specifically try and emulate it? Or is it something that's stuck in his head, and he's like, wow, I really want to do something similar.
Hmm.
So it's neat, and I'd highly suggest you check that out. And then just as a matter of principle, I also linked up to Lawrence Lessig, who is one of the first people to come out and talk about the problems with copyright. And he said basically one of the lines that I love from Remix is Rip a Remix Manifesto is you know, we have a mouse disease, and all of our copyright problems right now stem from the fact that Disney has been elongating what copyright was. Back in 1928, when Disney drew Mickey Mouse for the first time and he came up on Steamboat Willie,
right.
Steamboat Willie was actually a copy of another thing.
Huh.
And at that point in time, after you created something, you had 14 years to profit off it, and then it went into the public domain. They increased it to 28, which increased into 70, which increased into 99 after the art author died, to which increased to pretty much forever and a day now. So there's an artist who could record one junky song in the 1940s, and that will never be released into public domain. So they can make as many movies about Shakespeare as they want. But if they wanted to make a movie based on George Orwell's 1984, they couldn't do it because they would have to pay for the rights. You don't
right.
have to pay for the rights of Shakespeare. It was like, well, you know, it's Shakespeare. It's like, no. The problem is people have been copying and changing things for years. So it's just I'm really passionate about this. I love this topic. So the next little article that we got for you, without digging too much deeper into this, is actually something Steve started me all back on this trip again. So what is this one, Steve?
And what this is... basically, apparently, Superman and his friends decided to visit Bulgaria. And what happened was a statue, which represents the Russian Red Army, which I think it was built in the early 1940s.
During the Soviet occupation of
right,
Bulgaria.
Right, right. Apparently, a street artist or graffiti, you know, your choice, decided to paint all of the men on there as different... icons. I mean, you have anyone from Santa Claus and Superman to, you know, Ronald McDonald and Robin. You know, and you can even see Superwoman in the background.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, they called him the Bulgarian Bansky, and that's what got me into the whole, you know, exit through the gift shop. And yeah, I was impressed with this. It's a shame that they washed it away that day. By mid-afternoon, it was already gone.
Yeah, I wish I kind of knew Bulgarian, and I actually think there's a Bulgarian student in architecture. I'm going to ask him if he can translate what's at the bottom of that.
There's a couple of different translations. I forget the one. I think one was Rolling with Time, And I forget what the other one was. It was Moving with Time or something like that. It had to deal with time.
Okay. I love the fact that they made Lenin Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Or no, that's Marx. That's Marx. I'm sorry. Yeah, Karl Marx is Santa Claus. And I don't know who everybody else is because there's not a lot of pictures of it up here. But apparently Ronald McDonald's is missing a hand. So it's really cool and really interesting. Highly suggest you head on over there and check that one up and out. Next little thing we got for you here, kind of deviating from that, going back to more towards what we usually talk about. Do you have a heartbeat, Steve?
Of course I have a heartbeat.
Everybody on the planet right now has a heartbeat. Unfortunately, that means that the one person who was living for about a month without a heartbeat is actually passed on. Two doctors, Dr. Billy Cohn and Dr. Bud Frazier. If you had a Dr. Billy and a Dr. Bud, would you trust them? I mean, it's just they seemed relatively... I don't even know how to phrase it. It's like they seem more like they'd be guys working on a tractor as opposed to guys operating on hearts. But
yeah.
I mean, hey, Billy and Bub, whatever. But these two gentlemen said, the only reason that the heart actually beats, there is no biological reason other than the fact that your heart needs to rest in between pulses so that when the heart works, it actually has time to actually get nutrients to do its job. So rather than trying to create an artificial heart for patients out of a beating mechanism, because there's a lot of problems, they've been trying for about 60 years to come up with a really good, efficient, and functioning artificial heart. There's plenty of them, but they're incredibly complicated.
Right.
So what they did was they actually took a device that's actually called, let me see if I have it here. It's actually called it's like a pulseless turbine. It's basically a tiny little jet engine that works off of a very, very tiny amount of electricity, and all it does is spin up the blood and continue the flow. They installed these into a patient by the name of Craig Lewis, who was actually in the throes of having a very debilitating disease, and basically his body was deteriorating before their eyes. And he had less than like 6 hours to live at the one point when they put it in. And they completely replaced his heart, removed the heart entirely, and put these two little turbines, one on the atriums and one on the ventricles, and they put them in there, and all you heard was a slight hum in the dude's chest. He had no pulse, he flatlined, but he was living. I mean, that's like zombie stuff.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And it's like, the more I started thinking about this, and unfortunately, eventually he succumbed to the disease because it actually took some of the other organs away. But when you really think about it, when they first show you those old crazy movies about airplanes and everything like that, it's like they have the guy behind the wheel and the thing's flapping. That didn't work. Fixed wing aircraft. There's no bird in the world that flies with fixed wings all the time. So maybe we've been doing this the wrong way with the heartbeat all this long. Maybe this is going to be the way of the future. So it's really, really insane. So, all right, the next little story we got here, again switching gears because I am all over the place today, is digital archaeology. There's a great little installation that actually happened during Internet Week in New York. This is originally from London in Internet Week in 2010. But there's a gentleman who actually put together all of these different installations. His name is Jim Bolton, and it was websites of the time from roughly 1991, and they were all shown on the hardware that they originally came out on. We've talked a little bit about retro games don't look right on HDTVs.
Right.
And it's because that the flicker in the screen actually made them look the way that they did.
Right.
And a lot of that has to do with websites, too. It's like this website that we're looking at right now is a wonderful website. It's called caffeination.com. And this would not have looked right if you had it in 1991 because it would have been too wide. The screens were shorter, were much more narrow and different things. So it's one of those things where it's like, wow, that's really cool. I love the idea of doing this. So, I mean, he has things like AOL, Prodigy, CompuServe, Imagination, GeoCities, and something that was well before your time. It's called BBS's, Bulletin Board Systems. You actually had to dial the modem into a local phone number, and it was all text, and it was just the crazy community of people who lived in that area who did and shared files and had games and stuff like that on there.
Wow.
So, yeah, he has all this kind of information up there. I highly suggest you watch the video. All right, Father's Day geek homework. I put a little article up there about what I thought it meant to actually be a geek and be a father and what you should have thought about. I'm curious if anybody had any different things. What the cool geeky things you did on Father's Day? I didn't really have too much of a geeky Father's Day. It was really kind of fun and cool. Got to spend some time with the fam. We'd like to hear some stories, so if you have them, please send them in. I just want to hear some fun stuff. Next little thing we got for you, again, switching gears back over to some little game stuff.
And what this is the Portal 2 gels that you would see over at ThinkGeek.com. You know, you can buy all three in a bundle for $39.99 or one of them $14.99 a pop. And what this is, you know, you got your repulsion gel, you got your propulsion gel, and you got your... The conversion gel. And if you're not sure, you know, what these gels are actually supposed to do, we got a little video at the bottom to show you exactly what they do, and I sure hope they do actually work that way.
That would be really cool. Could you imagine all the fun stuff that you're able to do? It's like, beep, beep, beep.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to put a little propulsion gel under my car in the morning. Maybe throw some propulsion gel on the cars that are in front of me in traffic. All right, I'm looking at it. It looks fantastic. They're officially licensed. $14.99 is a bit steep.
Yeah, that is a bit steep.
And for what, honestly, if we're going to be really honest about this whole thing, is probably Silly Putty.
Yeah, it's just colored Silly Putty, I think.
It's unless we're talking like a pound of Silly Putty,
right?
I can't see $14.99.
Nah,
Silly Putty's like $1.99. Or it's a dollar at the dollar store.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, this is just a little bit beyond. I love the idea. I kind of think it's a neat thing, but, you know, it's too expensive. Next thing, do you have any ideas on the next one?
Yeah, it's actually what it is. It's the light bulb that lasts for 110 years and still going. And they're calling this the Centennial Light Bulb. And, over in Livermore, California, apparently, 1901 is when the light first went on, and they did everything in their power to keep it going, and it's still going. You can go over to their website, and they even have a video camera watching this bulb, so you can watch it right now. It's about, I think there's a 10-second delay, but it still shines. It shines bright, sometimes brighter than others.
Well, it only runs on 4 watts of electricity. That's like sipping.
Yeah.
Electricity. That's a green light bulb from 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Not really reading light, though.
Nah. You probably have to, like, really get up on the light and burn the page before
I mean, the funny thing is they said that they don't clean it anymore because they don't want to break the glass.
Right.
The only reason that they said it lasts longer than bulbs of today, like incandescent bulbs of today, is that the filament is so much thicker.
Yeah.
So that's I think it's really cool. Good find. All right, next little thing we got for you here, a little concept device.
What this is called the date stapler. And pretty much what this is it's only a concept, but it staples your papers together, it also dates it, which is, you know what, I think it's a cool concept. You know, it's a brilliant idea. I hope they do go through with it.
I would love to have had this in school, because that way, like, you know, you take this up to the teacher's desk, you put the staple in there, and the teacher automatically knows you turned your stuff in on time.
Right.
Because it stamps the date right there. It's like, bam, yes, the assignment was in on the correct day. Yes, of course, you could just spin the gummy dials around and have it be on whatever day, but I think it's a really cool thing.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Next little thing we got for you here from over at randomgoodstuff.com, they have Star Wars hoodies. These are just flat out neat. I love them. I think they're really cool. There's also 3 other sets that are actually superhero hoodies, and they're roughly, I think they're roughly $50 each. $49.99.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they have Boba Fett, a Stormtrooper, and Darth Vader. So you're talking like these are the Empire style ones. And then for the superhero ones, they have Spider-Man, black costume Spider-Man, what everybody else would probably just call Venom.
Right.
And
Captain America.
There it is. Thank you. And it's like you were looking at it too.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at it. Of course.
I'm really thinking like when Paul gets old enough, I might have to splurge and get him the Spider-Man one. Because, I mean, that dude loves him some Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
So, and my son is like absolutely insane over Spider-Man. So I love these. The Star Wars ones, I think, look a little bit less cool than the superhero ones. I don't know what it is about them. So, All right. And last little thing we got for you in Geekcraft here today is the lawnmower robot. I need this. I would love to have this. Actually, all of my chores around the house should just be taken over by robots. We could do the scuba for the floors. We could do the, what's this thing called? The Robomow. And this thing could work in the backyard, and then we could have the Roomba on the carpet. You have a Roomba at your house, right?
I do have a Roomba at home. My dad runs that thing like it's... he runs it every day.
He is the most non-technical person that I would ever consider to be a hacker. He's like the true life hacker when you really think about it, because he tries to stretch every possible inch of productivity out of anything he has, from putting a light switch on your lawnmower to running the iRoomba, the iRobot, in just a certain way so that it actually lasts a little bit longer.
Oh yeah.
So the man has skills. All right, moving right along to the food and caffeinated bits. We got a couple little things, and then we're going to head you out on your way. We're running long because I knew we were going to kind of babble on about some of the other stuff. So this is going to be a roughly even level show that we had here. It kind of ran through the last couple stories there. Hey, what do you got here? Oh, yeah, what's next? All right, so a long time coming, the DeLonghi Espresso Review, specifically, since DeLonghi makes a lot of them, the EC155 Espresso Maker. It is the espresso maker that I have upstairs. It is my first real, honest-to-goodness espresso maker. I have had steam-driven ones before. I'd had a couple of the other ones that I got from a yard sale where it was like a two-in-one. It was like a coffee pot on one side and a quote-unquote cappuccino maker on the other. I've had something similar to a mocha pot. I mean, all these things were well and good, but this is the first one, and I didn't have the kind of money that I've seen people throw into espresso makers. I've seen people spend $400 on them. I've seen people spend $600 on them. There are espresso machines out there that are $2,000 for a home espresso machine.
Wow.
I don't have that kind of cash.
No.
I'm not going to have that kind of cash for a while. So... unless I win the lottery, I'm probably not upgrading much more beyond this anytime soon. I think there's one I had my eye on that's roughly $200 or something like that. So it's just a little bit better, But this thing is probably for your money. It's running roughly at $70 right now. But depending on whether or not you're logged in over at Amazon, you can get it anywhere from $70 up to $99, depending on what sales they're running. This thing is fantastic. It actually gives you good crema on top of your espresso. The only problem with it, there's three problems. The first thing is it doesn't come with a tamper. But you know what? It has a tiny little tamping station that actually doesn't work too well. Buy a $6 tamper. There's a link on the site to buy your $6 tamper. Then you don't have to worry about it because it actually allows you to do it correctly. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing is that the actual clearance in between where the head ends and the Demitasse glasses go is very, very small. Like, you can barely fit shot glasses under there. And the only thing I would honestly consider irritating about this whole thing is the wand, or the frother wand, is at a funky angle. And it's a little bit short. So when you're actually trying to froth up the milk and do, like, espresso, the cappuccinos and the mochas and all that, it's just a little bit too short to be perfectly aligned. But for somebody who's just starting out, this is a fantastic pump espresso machine, and I would highly suggest you head on over there and check it out. Next thing we got up for you here is the CanBot. You gotta love the robots from Japan.
Oh yeah, they come up with the most creative ways.
This is really, really spiffy. This guy built a robot into a beer can, and all I can think of is practical jokes that I would like to pull with this. I would love to go to a bar probably around 1 a.m., sit this down next to somebody, and then just have it drive around. And the funniest thing is it actually works with a Wiimote.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're sitting there in the bar, and then all of a sudden the can splits into three and starts walking away from you. You could freak some people out like nobody's business.
I think a lot of people would stop drinking then.
It's like, you know what, man? No, last week was the unicorn. My beer just walked away. And imagine how much the bars could charge for something like this.
Oh, yeah.
I would think this would be kind of a sport for designated drivers. It's like they're the only ones that are sober at the end of that. So it's like, hey, wait, you want to see what we're going to do to John over there? And it's like, the little robot walks across the bar. Or, you know, just have, like, they should package one of these into every case of beer so that, like, you know, it randomly starts skittering around the table just to freak people out. I would love to see that. You can head over there and check out the video at our website. Then the last, but most certainly not least, we have a wonderful product review from Steve. Take it away.
All right. What this is I called it Sandwiches and Marshmallows. And what I did was, after all this talk that we had about, you know, the zombie apocalypse, I thought to myself, well, the only thing I would actually need is food because zombies hate fast food.
And you are quite a quick little guy.
I am quick like a bunny. So I was looking online, and I actually found something that interested me. It was called Tactical Sandwiches, and I was intrigued. You know, they only have two flavors right now, pepperoni and honey barbecue beef. And I was intrigued enough to buy one of each, and as soon as I got them in, I opened up the pepperoni, and I'll be honest with you, I was not happy. I mean, I put a picture down on there to show you. The slice of pepperoni was the size of my ring finger, and I'm a pretty small guy, so I was not happy at all. It was basically they cut a stick of pepperoni, stuck it in a Hot Pocket. Here you go.
It's a Slim Jim.
Yeah.
It's like a third of a Slim Jim.
Right. I mean, and you know what? I wasn't happy with the way it was anyway because it opened up right away, so I already, you know, looked inside. So, you know, I wasn't happy with that, but with the honey barbecue beef, I was actually pretty happy. You know, it. You know, you're not looking for, you know, a full course meal, but, you know, it was actually pretty good. The bread was a little chewy, but you know what? If I were going to go for one, I'd go with the honey barbecue.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty good, actually. And then, of course, you know, after I was looking through, I saw the Stay Puft Marshmallows. And if you know Stay Puft Marshmallows, you've watched Ghostbusters. And I was so intrigued. I didn't care how much it cost. And for $19.99, you know, I went for it, and it tastes like a marshmallow. You get that little hint of caffeine at the end of the chew. But you know what? It actually turned out pretty good. I'm hoping to find some caffeinated graham crackers and get myself a caffeine s'more.
Yeah, because you already got the caffeine in chocolate.
Yeah, I got
and
the
caffeine. We are going camping.
We are going camping, indeed.
So you can be the Girl Scout and get the
that's right.
The caffeinated s'more going. Be the hyperactive Girl Scout.
But yeah, you know, both products, you know, you had some good, some bad with the sandwiches, but the Stay Puft, I mean, that was dead on good for me.
I got to say, I had one of them. You were kind enough to share one of the mallows with me. They're really good marshmallows.
Yeah.
They're moist.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, but for $20, that's...
It's steep, but you know what? It's a pretty neat box that it comes in.
Yeah, I think the funniest thing is, like, the box, like, I think in order to try and take it, they're like, oh, my God, we're charging people $20 for marshmallows. All right. We're going to have to make it so they can save the box. We might have to put a midget in with the box.
That's right.
There was no midget.
No midget.
Okay. But if somebody asks you a god, if you're a god?
Oh, I say yes.
There you go. I thought of something that could never hurt me. Mr. Staple. Very good. Very good. Thank you very much for the review. Yeah, I got to say, I was standing there when Steve opened up the first pepperoni thing, and I'm looking at him going, oh, my God, that was $6 for a third of a Slim Jim. And some dough.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, it's like you kind of hope with geeky stuff like this, you're not expecting something that's like above and beyond. Oh, my God, this is fantastic. I feel like I could run a marathon.
Right.
You're expecting a little bit of value for your money.
Yeah. And then so. For $6, I didn't get the value with the pepperoni.
Okay. So, all right. Thank you very much for that one, Steve. That about wraps it up here today for the Food and Caffeinated Bits and for podcast number 489, the Remix Edition. What do we got coming up on the next show and for the next week? We got a little bit of Duke Nukem review that's going to be coming out within the next week. We're going to be talking about the Balance Bar Cafes that were sent to us lovingly. We're going to be talking about... is there any other stories that jump out at you right now that we can kind of let people know about?
At the moment, no. Okay. But I'll I'm pretty sure I'll have something up by the end of the weekend.
Okay, we got a whole bunch of different stuff that's in the pipeline already, ready to come out. So you should head back over to caffeination.com, check out the content that's going to come up every day. At this point, I know guaranteed for the next 5 days, we have a story coming out at noon. So noon, you're guaranteed to have a new story. There's probably going to be maybe one before and one after, but you're guaranteed to have at least one lunch break story a day. So that's what we're promising you for you for the next little while. All right, thank you ever so much for listening today. This has been Caffeination number 489. Just a reminder, you can find us over at www.caffeination.com. Thank you ever so much, and stay caffeinated, people.